This is the final whistle of 2025 on Ocean FM. Tonight, Sligo's John Murphy has joined the race to become the next president of the GAA. The Tubbercurry man will explain the rationale behind his bid. European gold medalists in their respective sports, Gearóid McDade, Paddy Reap and Cian McMunn, are honoured by Sligo County Council. We'll hear from all three. Fermanagh footballer Dara McGurn shares what life is like under new county manager Declan Bonner. And four Sligo teenagers have raised more than €10,000 for the MS Therapy Centre in Sligo thanks to a dip a day in the sea. Welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan and here are the contact details. By WhatsApp and text, it's 083 3500 530 and by email, the address is sport@oceanfm.ie. So Sligo's John Murphy has announced this week that he's going to run to be president of the GAA. The 68-year-old was formally proposed by his home club, Tubbercurry, at Monday night's county convention in the Clayton Hotel. Murphy is a former Connacht Football Championship winner with Sligo back in 1975. He was the sub-goalkeeper on that championship-winning panel. He's had a steady rise through the administrative ranks over the last 20 years, from chairperson of Sligo GAA to President of the Connacht Council from 2021 to 2023, and he's held senior roles on various Croke Park committees where he's built a strong reputation in the areas of finance and infrastructure. Murphy is currently a GAA trustee at national level. He becomes the third candidate to enter the race to succeed Jarlath Burns in the Uachtaráin role, and he'll be up against two formidable administrators in Tipperary. Ger Ryan, who's chairperson of the Munster Council, and Derek Kent from Wexford. John Murphy spoke to Ocean FM Sport at Monday night's Sligo GAA convention.
When I went through the roles I had in the GAA, I probably thought in the last year or two that I'd like this position or like to have to go for it. So I'm probably thinking about it for the last year or 18 months, and just decided actually in the last couple of weeks that I'd have a go at it.
Your club have nominated you. Does it feel in your mind the time is right to have a go?
Oh, the time, from my perspective, the time is right. The next time round would be too late for me, and I'm at a stage in my life where it's right, and on top of that I probably feel that I have the experience now to do the job and to do it well.
You are a member of a famous Sligo GAA family, a famous Sligo GAA club. You've played for Sligo, won a Connacht Championship. You have administratively been a chairman in the county, president of the Connacht Council. So in terms of experience, your CV suggests, on paper at least, that you have the credentials.
Yeah, Austin, I've been very lucky as well. Things happened when I was around, and maybe some of the things I made them happen, other things happened. So I feel I was lucky as well as capable. But in this respect, I believe I'm capable for this job, and the experience I have from the roles I've held I think, allow me to do a good job.
Is there such a thing as a good or a bad time to run for the presidency of the GAA? The association has a lot of challenges right now. You touched on some of them tonight in your address to delegates, whether it is rural depopulation or urban centre challenges, integration. The list is lengthy. It's a challenging time to be leading an association of this scale.
It is, but it's any time, it's a great time to lead, to be in a position to lead an association like this. The challenges only add to the excitement, in my mind, to deal with them and get through them. Like the the demographics, like, I mean, there's huge challenges in the urban areas. You take the likes of Coola, they have one pitch and a bit more maybe, and they have 3,000 members. Take Salt Hill, Knocknacarra, huge population, small facilities, and that's mirrored around the country. We have brilliant facilities where we don't have a population. So how we deal with that, and it's great, but we have to deal with the centres of population and the Eastern Seaboard, and then in infrastructure, we came off the back of, if you like, the soccer rugby money in Croke Park, and built centres of excellence, and upgraded our facilities, stadia, and now we have to care for those, and we still have five more centres of excellence to build, like Armagh, Down, Galway has to be extended, Mayo have to build, Roscommon have to build, or will build, because the pressure is on to provide those facilities now throughout the country, and to maintain those facilities is a huge challenge. The finances in the association are very good, but they are redistributed throughout the country every year, so they don't return a huge surplus. So we have to be very careful how we spend and deal with those issues.
What makes a good president in your mind?
Well, I guess somebody that's interested in the job, somebody that gets good people around them, and in an association like ours, we have brilliant staff. And you must take the lead from the staff. Okay, you can guide them or make suggestions to them, but there are brilliant staff in the association. And, a president, I don't believe, of Connacht Council would have built the dome. That was the brainchild of John Prenti, who got the support of the counties. And then went ahead and did it. So a president wouldn't have the time to do that. But probably someone that listens and that takes advice from the staff that are there, because there are brilliant staff there.
You'll be up against Tipperary's Ger Ryan, yeah, and Wexford's Derek Kent. By presidential election standards, that's a fairly crowded field.
Well, it's not too crowded. The last couple of elections probably carried three or four people each time, but it's they're from huge GA strongholds. Say the votes in Munster, Leinster are huge, and the provinces are inclined to stay vote with the province. So there's a huge challenge there, and like, as I stated, the battleground, if you want to put it that way, is Ulster and overseas. And if you can take something out of the other two provinces, all the better. But they're big, they're strong at Tipperary, and Wexford would be two strongholds.
So how do you convince Ulster and the overseas units to vote for the Sligo man?
Well, I'd be there at national level for a number of years. I would have performed adequately in, or more than adequately maybe, in infrastructure and in finance, and a couple of more committees was on, and people will know that. And I probably haven't ruffled too many feathers in my time in a bad way, so, or in any way, so with that, but I think the work that I've done at infrastructure over the years, or finance, will help me there.
John Murphy on his bid to become the next GAA president, and the election will take place at the end of February at annual Congress in Croke Park. Three Sligo sportsmen were accorded a civic reception by Sligo County Council this week. Garage McDade's European Surfing Gold and the gold medals won by show jumpers Paddy Reap and Kian McMunn from West Sligo for Ireland during the year were all acknowledged. Corbella's Paddy Reap was part of the Ireland Junior Equestrian Team, which won team gold at the European Championships in Germany. 16-year-old Kian McMunn won individual gold at the FEI European Podium pony championships in France. We'll hear from those two shortly. But first to surfer Garage McDade, winner of course of the European men's shortboard title in Portugal back in July, the biggest individual win by an Irish surfer on the European stage to date. And he was chuffed to get a civic reception in his hometown this week.
It's amazing to get this kind of recognition from the County Council here in Sligo. It's great to get that kind of local support, and yeah, it's amazing. So I'm super happy, and yeah, looking forward to the next year.
And in true Garage McDade style, I think you came straight from the water to this event. You're surfing even in late December.
Oh yeah, it's been pretty good at home the last couple of weeks. So yeah, I was literally surfing about 2 hours ago, got out of the water and came here. Washed the salt off, but yeah, it's non-stop waves at the moment, so yeah, it's been great, and yeah, it's good.
And the waves you're referring to off the coast of Mullagh Mór, which is rearing its head in style again this week.
Yeah, we've had a couple of really nice days at Mullagh Mór this last couple of weeks, and there's a really big swell coming on Thursday now, so yeah, we're looking forward to that, and let's see what happens. It might be good, might not, but we'll be out there trying it on Thursday now.
Is there ever a day you switch off from surfing, Garage? Like, do you surf on Christmas Day?
Oh, definitely. I surf on Christmas Day for sure. But there's the odd day. You need your breaks and stuff too. So, yeah, I do take them. But try to make the most of it when the waves are there. So, yeah, we'll try to do that.
Are you able to take stock at this time of year and reflect on what you have to achieve? I know you said it's been a roller coaster year, but there is so much to look back on with pride. Or are you one of those itchy feet young men? You're already thinking about what's coming in the new year.
I do think about everything that's happened this year. I'm super happy with it, but I'm always looking forward to the next thing. So yeah, I'm looking forward to next year and seeing what happens and trying to qualify for the Olympics. So they're the main goals, and yeah, I'm pretty itchy to get going next year again.
Yeah, and what does that mean for you? I mean, what is training for Garage McDade? Is it out on the water? Is it in the gym? Or what is the formula for you?
Training is everything, from surfing every day and then getting into the gym, making sure my body is strong and fit. I train here in Rom in Sligo, and it's amazing to be able to train there. And yeah, it's a balance of everything. You got to train your mental state too, which is pretty important. And yeah, I just try and balance it all, but surfing does take priority a lot of the time.
But you're entitled to the odd mince pie or a beer over Christmas. You're not a monk.
Oh, no, definitely not. No, I'll enjoy myself. I train hard, but I like to enjoy myself at the same time. So, yeah, it's good.
Well, congrats on this civic reception and enjoy the Christmas.
Thank you.
Kian McMunn, European Pony Championship gold medalist earlier this year. Nice to get another accolade here tonight from Sligo County Council.
Yeah, I'm delighted to be recognised here by the Sligo County Council here tonight. I just want to thank them for recognising me and organising this event, and I want to say thanks to my local council and to Michael Clark for always being helpful. So yeah,
you're here with another West Sligo show jumper, Paddy Reap. What is it about West Sligo? You seem to be producing the stars of the future by the dozen.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know Paddy's a very talented rider, and he is a couple of gold medals anyway, so hopefully if I get the same amount of him, I wouldn't be going too bad now. So
your gold medal earlier this year in France, does that fuel your motivation for more?
Yeah, it definitely motivates me to go for bigger and better stuff, so I'll try next year now to hopefully get more accolades. So,
and are there particular events or championships you'll be targeting next year, be it national or international?
Internationally, I'll be going for the under-18 European Championships, so...
Right, okay. Yeah. And will that be on the same horse, SK Esperanto, or that depends?
Yeah. No, it'll be on a different horse. So I'm out of that category of under 16, yeah. Okay. So it'll be under 18 next year.
Right, so it moves and changes very quickly.
Yeah, so you have to constantly be switching up. But
how much practice do you have to do, show jumping-wise, typically in a week?
Usually, when I come home from school, I go out for a few hours in the evening, and then usually at the weekend, well, mostly we're away at shows, so it's kind of constant now.
Right. And are you able to play other sports, or is show jumping your thing now?
I actually play soccer and Gaelic as well, so...
Okay, that's with St.
Pat's, yeah, right. And I play soccer at Ballastadale, so...
Okay, so you're still multi-talented.
Yeah, I try to keep it all going anyways, so...
Well, congrats on your award, and enjoy the Christmas.
Yeah,
thank
that's
you.
Perfect, thank you.
Well, with me is European gold medalist with Ireland in Germany earlier this year, Paddy Reap. Paddy, this is not your first international success, but when you're part of a team, there is something special about that, isn't it?
Yeah, when you're part of the team, it's really special because there's four riders, three others that's jumping. So you can't let your team down. You have to do your best. So it's, and as well, when you're competing for your nation, it's special. It's something different, and it's an honour to be representing your nation, but also to get a result, to get your team to be the winners. It's amazing.
You were saying here earlier you weren't sure at the start of the year if you would be at the European Championships at all.
Yeah, so my horse is quite young, so at the start of the year I was just trying to build him up to the level, but he's an amazing horse and he started off strong and he finished strong, so yeah, it's been brilliant.
And at what point do you make the call and say to yourself, is that in consultation with the chef to keep or your family about, you know, let's try this?
So with my father, who he buys and sells horses, and we produce a lot of horses. So he started off the year quite well. We'd done a couple of shows in Cavan, and then he was second in the Grand Prix there. So after that, we decided we'd bring him abroad to Compiègne in France, and we won the Nations Cup there, and I was fourth in the Grand Prix. So with the chef to keep after, we decided we'd go to another show, and from there we were selected to be on the championships.
And you were selected to be the very first competitor out into the arena in Germany. How did you feel about that when you were told you were going to be first out? I mean, is that a sense of pride or a sense of pressure, or what are the emotions that swirl around that?
Yeah, it's a sense of pride, but it's also a little bit of added pressure. But I'd been first before in a few other Nations Cups, so I was kind of used to it. But it's, I suppose there's more pressure at a championships, but yeah, it's amazing, yeah. To be called first, but yeah.
And to win gold, that sense of elation, I'm sure.
Yeah, to go and win gold then, that's amazing. I had won gold before in team and individual in 2023 in the ponies, and then also team in 2022 in ponies. But in the junior level, it's a little bit higher than ponies. It's different. You're now getting closer to seniors, so it's a little bit more pressure on you, yeah.
You come from a very well-known equestrian family in West Sligo, the Reeps, and you have enjoyed success at national, international level, I think pretty much all the way up to the underage ranks. You, from a distance, you strike us as a very ambitious young sportsman. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I've been riding ponies since, well, as long as I can remember. We always had ponies and horses. We have an equestrian centre there, so yeah. But yeah, my brother and my sister both rode. My brother won a 2-star Grand Prix this year. He's the youngest person to actually do so, and he was only 16. But yeah, and then my sister, she also competed. She won the 1-3-8 championships in Dublin when she was 14. So yeah.
So you're surrounded by it. There's no escape.
Yeah, we're surrounded by it. Yeah, it's kind of bred into me.
And what's next for you, Paddy, equestrian-wise? I mean, I'm sure you have your studies as well. Are you still at school?
No, I finished school last year, but yeah, so now I have to make it a career. I'm now in young rider level, which is under 21, and after that it's senior level. So I'll try and keep up the young rider ranks, and I still have that horse, and he's proven to be quite a good horse, so I'll produce him on and hopefully have him at a senior level.
I know it's an uncertain industry and profession, but I mean, is it something you'd like to make a career out of, ideally?
Yeah, it's definitely something I'd like to make a career out of. It's quite difficult. It's very hard to get into. It's the money it costs to be involved in it. It is unbelievable. But yeah, to have some good horses at this stage already, I'm quite lucky. So hopefully I can make the best of it.
Yeah. And to us untrained eyes, the outsiders, we see on the Show Jumping Ireland Facebook page, Paddy Reep has won gold or team gold around Europe or around the country. But a lot of people don't have any idea what goes into being a show jumper, you know, an equestrian athlete at the high level. I mean, today is nice. You're getting an award. You're in the spotlight, and that's great. And so are the team awards and the individual accolades. But it's the cold, dark winter mornings around the country that we know nothing about.
Yeah, it's early starts and very late finishes, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. But yeah, it's brilliant. It's something different, and to do something you love and to have it as a career, it's brilliant. It's amazing.
And what is the driving force for you? What do you enjoy best about it, if you had to pick one thing?
Well, I really love competing for my nation. To get called up to compete for Ireland, it's amazing. It's a feeling that I don't know, I can't even describe it. It's brilliant.
Sligo show jumper Paddy Reap, and before that Cian McMunn and Garrod McDade at Tuesday's civic reception at the Sligo County Council Chamber in Riverside. When we come back after the break, four teenage friends from Summerhill College and their dip a day in the Atlantic for multiple sclerosis. Well, last month saw lots of people raising money for various good causes by doing their own month-long versions of Movember or Grovember or whatever you're having yourself. Four Sligo Leaving Cert students got together to do a Coldvember initiative, which involved going for a dip in the sea at Ross's Point in Sligo every day during the month of November. The idea was to raise money for the MS Therapy Centre in Sligo, their chosen good cause, but it became something more than that. Here are JP Flanagan, Rowan O'Neill, Mark Clifford and first Finan O'Mahony to take up the story.
So we saw the Galway Coldvember Instagram page from last year, and the idea just sprung on me. I texted lads and I was like, are you on board for going for a few dips in November? And they're all on board, so that's how it started.
So this became going for a dip every day in November?
Yeah, it kind of just came upon us. We didn't really think we would go every day, but then whatever, we started and couldn't stop ourselves.
Yeah. JP, were you keen swimmers already as it stood?
I suppose we were, yeah. But the cold water now definitely was a tough test each day. Wasn't easy getting in, but we managed to get through it, yeah.
No one tried to say, let's do it in Cleaver in the sports complex, no?
No, I'm afraid Rowan made a few suggestions, but we didn't actually get that far in the end. We stuck to the water, yeah.
So this was swimming caps. Were you allowed to wear wetsuits, Mark?
Well, you could have if you wanted, but we weren't into that.
You made of tough stuff.
Yeah. No, we tried to stick to the bear skin as much as we could. Yeah.
Right. So this was Dead Man Point in Ross's Point. Was that your venue each day?
I was. We'd one day there. We went to Mullaghmore just to change up a wee bit. But every day it's down Ross's Point. Just easy. A few lads living here as well, and they come in from town. So.
Okay. And your plan at the beginning, guys, was to raise money. How much and what for were you raising the cash?
So our first goal was €250. And sure, I think we smashed that in the first day, so we kind of didn't know what was going on. I think we'd raise it up to 500 then, and then 1,000. We never really expected that we'd get anywhere, like even 1,000. Like, we didn't think at all that we'd get 10,000. So it was a really big surprise overall.
And where was the cash coming from?
Well... There was lots of different people, to be fair.
Was it classmates, friends, ostensibly, or it morphed from that?
Initially, yeah, it was mostly a few of the lads from school, but luckily with our Instagram page, lots of people saw the publicity and kind of got on board and supported us, yeah.
So, Mark, you updated on social media. We started to see pictures of the four of you in the water various different times. Was it mainly morning swims, or did it become evening as well?
Yeah, so pretty much after every swim we did every day, we'd post up a few pictures on the Instagram page, and the majority of them were before school. It was November, so obviously we had the tests, and it was no harm to get in and do the dip before the test. But, you know, a few of the days we went out after school, or the weekends we tried to go in the middle of the day, because when you're getting up at 6:30 Monday to Friday, you tire out fairly quickly. So the majority of them were in the morning, but towards the weekends we took a lie in.
Okay, so just to be clear, you were doing this during school exams?
Yeah. So we're all in Summerhill and Leaving Cert. So I don't know what it was, second or third week, we had a week of exams. So we decided we'd get them done early in the morning and clear the head.
And Rowan, did the bracing cold water help or hinder the study?
I think it helped anyway. Definitely got the focus up in the morning anyway.
Was there any morning, guys, where the weather was particularly bad and you were looking at one another and saying to yourselves, I'm not sure about this?
Oh yeah, definitely towards the end of the month. There was a few times when you looked out the window in the morning, you definitely weren't tempted to get in, but we kind of all encouraged each other at the end of the day and we got through it, yeah.
And Finan, was it in for 10 seconds and straight back out, or did you have a rule, we have to stay in here 45, 50 seconds before we get out again?
So I think it started, we were in for about 30 seconds maximum now for the first week, and then like kind of started to grow a bit more every time, and I think the last day we're in for about 5 minutes, I'd say, was probably our longest one. And actually kind of just longer every day, I think it was.
How much money did you raise in the end?
We raised €10,460, I think, overall.
Which is a fair increase on £250.
Yes, well more than we thought.
And how, tell me about the last swim, Mark, then the final day of Cold November. How did it finish?
Yeah, so we advertised on the Instagram page that we'd try and get as many people down as we could to support us. And I think we said 2 o'clock maybe down at the pier on the last day. It worked out well. It was a Sunday and people were off and free. So like we thought maybe, you know, 10 or 12 people might come down, a few of the lads. And but it was absolutely outrageous. Like, I don't know how many people were there, but it was close up to nearly 40 people, like between parents and just locals from Ross's Point who seen what we were doing. But it was, you know, from the support we got on the last day, it was insane, now, to be fair.
Because you seem to capture the imagination, lads, of a few people online.
Oh, that's for sure. Yeah, with the Instagram page, we kind of designed it to reach out to everyone, so it was really nice to see when all the lads came down the last day to join us. Yeah.
So will you try and do this again next year?
I'm not sure. I'll have to have a meeting about that now, discuss terms and what we're going to do.
Yeah, might be an ultra marathon now. Water is so last year, isn't that right?
Could be, yeah. Not sure. We'll have to figure something out.
But it's a fair gesture from the four of you, you know, four Leaving Cert students, to raise that sort of money for a very worthy cause.
Oh yeah, jeez, it was, I don't know really, it was, I don't know whose was it, I think it was a group idea to choose our multiple sclerosis centre in Sligo. It's a great cause. We all know of family and friends that use the facility, and they're great, and they're really worthy of the cause.
Finn O'Mahony, JP Flanagan, Mark Clifford and Rowan O'Neill on their Cold November extravaganza, which raised just under $10,500 for the MS Therapy Centre in Sligo. And there'll be lots of goal miles taking place around the country over the festive period. Fermanagh Gaelic footballer Darren McGurn has been among the intercounty GAA players helping to promote the runs over Christmas. The Belnalek man is now working under new Fermanagh County Bannisdore, Declan Boner. Dara's been chatting to Oisin Langan about the new setup in the Erne County.
You know, naturally, when you get a new management and a new coaching setup, there's a kick, there's an energy, there's a huge drive that comes in from the coaching setup. But there's also a buy-in and a lift from us as a group in terms of a fresh start and new ideas, you know, intensity of training. You're all pushing towards, you know, goals later in the year of for us, you know, reaching higher standards. You know, last year we lost in the Italian Cup semi-final. We lost a game against Down that we should have won. So you're pushing to up your standards and put in a big, you know, off season period within this December, early January period to reach new heights. So there's been a big lift within the squad.
And sometimes when a manager comes in, they're coming in because things haven't gone well. I would not say that is the case here, because as you say, got to the Talton Cup semi-final, competed well in that, so close to going up to Division 2, like fine margins and all that. And as you say, unbelievably close to beating Down. So,
yeah,
I don't know how you describe 2025, but I would not say that things are in a bad place for Fermanagh, judging by judging from all of those games, all of which I saw and thought, this lot are not far away.
That's it. A lot of good work has been done over the last 3 years with Kieran Donnelly, you know, when he was in the setup. Like we definitely raised our own standards. We pushed on. Last year was probably the first time in a long time that we actually should have won an Ulster Championship game. Last year was our first year in a Talton Cup semi-final. That's why it's an exciting time that we don't just have a management coming in that's having to reinvent the wheel and get a complete new group of players and change everything. It's more, how can we push on that wee bit further? How can we, as a group, collectively come together and raise our own standards personally? That's the exciting part, is that we know as a group that the talent is there and that we aren't far away, and really that gives you that kind of boost to keep go again and raise everything across the board.
You seem to have, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, you seem to have a lot of speed and pace in your team, and that actually is a good thing for these, well, I was going to say new rules. I suppose we should just call them rules now, but the new rules.
Yeah, that's, I spoke about this before as well. Like physically, we feel like we're at a really good level, and that's probably the baseline, you know, when it comes to competing with the better teams, because the top teams have all got pace, they've all got power, they've all got really well-conditioned, physically well-conditioned athletes. And if you don't have that, you're going to really struggle to make that up, whether it's tactically or tactically. So we know we have that. We have a lot of pace, we have a lot of power. So for us, it's, can we get everyone on the pitch competing? And then if we get ourselves to the level tactically and tactically, we know we can win games against better teams. So, yeah, it's exciting that we have that within our team at the minute. And we've a lot of young lads. The age profile of the team is pretty good too. So there's still, you know, new levels to go to as well.
The Makeda Cup is back now. As a fan, I'm excited. I mean, Darry, you wouldn't know by my accent, but I've been to a lot of Makeda Cup games and have made the trip to Cavan on a freezing Wednesday night and have seen, you know, managers change 10 to 15 players at half time, but still I love the Makeda Cup. How is it for players? Are you glad it's back because you'd have been playing challenge matches anyway, or how are you feeling about it?
Yeah, you know, as a player, you're going to be playing friendlies anyway, and I feel the Makeda Cup, you probably get a wee bit more out of the Makeda Cup than you would in those friendlies, because there still is a wee bit of a competitive feel to it. So I think you learn maybe a wee bit more as a group within those games. So, and then it's just exciting to have, you know, games to prepare for where there's going to be people coming to watch and see how you're getting on. So, and then personally, just getting game time in the legs and getting time in that environment again is a good thing, you know, when you're progressing towards league football.
And how about yourself? I know you've had a few injuries over the year. How are you feeling?
Yeah, so I had a stress fracture in my back just over the summer, and I got the all clear from that about a month ago. So I'm just slowly building my way back up to that level again and getting myself back involved with training and stuff and trying to get myself to the level, you know, that I know is required to play under county football. So still probably not fully at that just yet, but would be pushing towards, you know, being fully fit and ready to go for that league campaign.
That, and you can explain it to me and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but when someone tells you you've got a stress fracture in your back, that must be quite the blow, because that sounds very serious.
Yeah, I think anything in your spine, you know, is pretty serious. You know, you can't really, you know, if it's another injury, you know, in the lower leg or whatever, you nearly always have that thing, right, sure, I could probably do this or that and push on and play through a bit, but when it's your spine, you just simply can't risk it. And I felt that even, you know, you become a bit rigid and you're trying to protect that area a lot. And that was probably the biggest challenge in terms of, firstly, it was getting the bone to heal. You have to create the right environment for that. A lot of people can have complications with that, and maybe you could develop complications for life if you mess around with the back and you don't get it sorted early. So I put a lot of work into that in the first couple of months in terms of getting that healing process, you know, optimizing, getting myself fully healed, and then you have the challenge of, you know, getting the spine moving again. It was probably more of a challenge than other injuries that I've had in terms of there'd be a bit more fear around, you know, bending your spine and moving and getting yourself back to twisting and turning and taking players on at high speeds in games. So I'm happy with the outcome of it, to be honest, within that period, and it hasn't, you know, escalated.
Is there, and you may not have had it yet, is there that moment where, you know, in training or a challenge match or whatever, where contact is going to come and it's the first contact since the injury, and maybe there is a fear there or a sense of the unknown there? Has that moment come? Have you had that contact?
Yeah, I've passed that contact. That came within the first, you know, that first time you're going back into contact, and you just don't know. You just don't know what way you're going to feel after it and what way it's going to respond. So it's more of a mental barrier getting past that, and you know, your brain nearly trusting that part of your body that you can withstand contact, you can take players on, you can be physical and you're going to be okay. So I've passed that barrier now, thankfully, and we're on the right road.
And of course, strength and conditioning and fitness and all that is your life.
Yeah.
And I wonder sometimes, is that a good thing because you know what to do and how to execute the exercises and you're an expert in all that? Or is it a bad thing in a sense that sometimes doctors can't treat themselves, if you know what I mean? Maybe you do need that outside voice saying, no, Darry, hang on, you can't push yourself here. What way does it work for you?
There's positives and there's negatives. The good side of it is that you know, you have a lot of knowledge around the area. I know what, like, I've good knowledge in terms of how my body needs to move. I know I'd be very good in terms of actually doing the rehab and doing it to a high level and strengthening the parts of my body that need to be strengthened, and maybe going and seeing the right people in terms of, who, you know, the help and guidance that you need. And then I suppose the other side of it is you can sometimes can become obsessed with it, and you're always thinking, and you're always, you know, searching for pain, and you're trying to find solutions, and you're nearly obsessing over that side of things. So that's been something that I've kind of had to kind of pull myself back from and just kind of let the thing happen and just focus on the rehab and the time that it takes to get yourself right. And yeah, you know, other athletes, you know, if you don't have any knowledge around it, you're just doing what you're, the advice that you're given, and you're doing what the rehab that you need to do, and that's it. Whereas I can definitely maybe go too far down that rabbit hole of thinking about everything and trying to get everything perfect.
And is it hard for a player and someone who's obsessed with fitness to rest? Because often coaches would say to me, well, actually, the most important thing is the rest. And that can be tough for GA players, because obviously you have to work and be on your feet on a daily basis, and you're training at a professional level, but don't really necessarily get the recovery time in.
Yeah, so for me, you know, as a coach, a lot of what I do is probably on the laptop. So, and I've learned over the years that you kind of learn that the hard way. You know, if you're always trying to do something and you're trying to train every day, you don't actually have that window or that time between sessions to recover and adapt and be ready to go again. So that's nearly something you figure out just over the years, that it's your downtime really when you make the improvements from the training that you're doing. That was probably the biggest challenge with the back. Was it was the first time in nearly my whole career where I was told you literally can't do anything for here for 3-4 weeks. And to go from nearly doing something every day, whether it was, you know, walking or training or gym work or skills work or whatever it was, to completely immobilized, that was a challenge. But when you're involved in a county setup now and you're training so hard, and you'd be glad of that window that you get then to recover the bodies.
What did you do for that 3 to 4 weeks?
What did I do? I was actually going to different recovery facilities, and I was getting different treatments to try and speed up the healing process. That nearly took my mind off it. I was putting as much energy as I could into nutrition. You know, there's different, you need to be eating the right foods to give your body the fuel and what it needs to actually, you know, optimize the healing process. And if you don't get that right, then the healing mightn't happen, especially with the bone, because there's less blood supply and stuff than there might be with a muscle. And then, you know, as I mentioned, I was traveling up to different treatment place in Roscommon to get different treatments, and that was nearly like a training session, and it was taking up bits of time and stuff. So that was my focus within that period.
Okay, you didn't just hit Netflix or Amazon Prime.
No, I wouldn't.
You actually used the time. Okay,
I wouldn't be someone who sits down and watches Netflix too often, to be honest. Maybe I should do that a bit more often to switch off. But I wasn't just laying up either.
Well, I didn't think we were going to have a conversation about the latest series of Stranger Things today when the interview was set up. Dara, just before I let you go, what does your Christmas look like? Will you get to relax? Will you get to spend time with friends, family? What's your Christmas going to be like?
Yeah, there'll be a bit of that, but there'll also be still training. You know, you'll be training throughout that period, but then you'll also have the, you know, for example, this weekend we might train, and then we might have the opportunity to go and meet friends and maybe have a drink and relax a bit. But then you'll be back straight into training in a couple of days. So we'll get a bit of time off around Christmas Day and stuff like that, and Christmas Eve and Boxing Day. So yeah, that's kind of the small window that you get, and you have to just get out and meet friends and socialize a bit, because you're going to be all dialed in then when it comes to January and straight through to the end of the club season.
That's Fermanagh's Dara McGurn with Ushing Langan. And remember, Fermanagh will be operating alongside Sligo in Division 3 of the National Football League in the new year. Before we go, a reminder that we've got live hurling for you this Saturday on Ocean FM, the All-Ireland Junior Club Hurling semi-final between Burt of Donegal and Eesky of Sligo will be live from Father Tierney Park in Ballyshannon at 1 o'clock, with thanks to Shoot the Crows Sligo. And a reminder, finally, this programme is available as a podcast each week on oceanfm.ie and wherever you get your pods. Search for Ocean FM Sport or The Final Whistle to find it. The Final Whistle will return in the new year on Thursday, the 8th of January. Until then, may I wish you a very happy and peaceful Christmas.